podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello and welcome to AI Scouted on Anfield Index Pro. I'm Dave Hendrick, joined as always by Mr. Carl Matchett. How are you, sir?
I'm going to count myself still top of the league, even if that's not officially true.
Yeah, I mean, especially considering Gary Neville decided to invent the joint top of the league shenanigans a couple of years ago when United were briefly, joint top of the league. And also considering we were robbed yesterday, for want of a better word, for the third time in a major game this season. We had points stolen off us by very, very poor officials. Brief thoughts on yesterday's game?
Very much the archetypal game of two halves. I thought we were a little bit hesitant and not fearful, but I'm going to say overly respectful in the first half. Second half, I thought we blew them away. I thought we were by far the better team in that half compared to them, their level of being better team in the first half, if you get me. I don't think a draw is an unreasonable outcome for the game and the chances that were had. But if there was a winner, I think Liverpool would have, you know, boxing terms or whatever, edged it on points. Ultimately, we should have scored. The chances that they had and went close with were either very good shots or very low quality chances, whichever way around you want to put it. Mm. And it had to be near perfect, whereas we had probably two additional chances, which we absolutely should have scored from, simple as that.
Yeah.
So I would say that we maybe minus one on the points that we should have had, even if not a full 3 points, I think it's fair to say. But ultimately keep City at not arm's length, maybe just like an elbow's length.
Yeah, I said this on today's Daily Red. If someone had told me at the start of the season that as we entered the title race, the last 10 games, we would be a point ahead of City, I would have snapped their hand off for that. I'm still firmly of the belief that as long as we finish above City, we'll win the league. And as I look through the fixtures, I think we might win the league, Carl. I think I went through them on the Daily Red, and I think I had us finishing 1 point ahead of City. I had Arsenal kind of falling away with three games left because their fixtures are so much harder because of who they're playing and where they're playing. I think it'll be us and City going into the final day with us 1 point clear. And I would take that a million times out of a million. We're at home. It's Wolves. They're good, but they're not great. It's Klopp's last league game. It's Klopp's last game at Anfield. There's just no way we're not winning that if we go into that game knowing that a win wins us the title. So I do feel put out. I'm more and more annoyed by the failure by the officials on the Doku kick to the nipple of Alexis McAllister, which I just don't understand the logic. I can't understand how they can say his foot was in a reasonable position when he's jumping off the ground and catching our player in the chest. Our player who, by the way, touched the ball first, but we've been told all season it doesn't really matter who makes contact first. It's what happens after that. It's a blatant penalty that we've been denied. Following Martin Odegaard's basketball impression against Arsenal, following the Luis Diaz goal against Spurs, it's this totting up process for me, and I just don't I don't understand how that penalty is not given. And I don't understand how a drop ball against Nottingham Forest, which had no bearing on the outcome of the game, has generated far more controversy and far more coverage than this.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, perfectly honestly, I didn't think there was anything at all in the Nottingham Forest one anyway. It's just what happened. It just wasn't a thing anyway. So I don't really understand the constant referring back to it in the first place, to be perfectly honest. I mean, I get both sides of the arguments for and against it, but it just doesn't have the full context. Like, if that's done anywhere else, it's a free kick. Simple as that, straight away. And, you
But if
know,
that's
there
done anywhere
was.
else, Carl, it's a potential red card for dangerous play.
I mean, it's a minimum of a yellow card, I would say. And, like, the thing about getting the ball first hasn't mattered for years, years and years and years. We have seen so many players go in for challenges with their feet, let's say, get the ball, but be done for a yellow or even a red card on the follow through because that's endangering the opponent or it's high risk play or it's whatever it is. There's no doubt that a high foot in the chest or close to neck area is obviously also a foul. I think the ref bottled it because of the timing of it, and then the VAR, I never expected to give that, to be perfectly honest. I
Well, the
think that
VAR
was
bottled
probably,
it because of who the referee is.
I don't know. I
Because
think that
Michael
very,
Oliver
very
does not
often.
react well when people correct him on his decisions.
I don't know. I think that the VAR often, I don't know if hide behind is the right word, but certainly there's very, very little consistency there in terms of what they tell us is either a high bar or applying the law or, you know, whatever excuse or reason that they have for existence these days just doesn't really fly game to game.
A shambolic decision that has robbed us of 2 points and given City a point that they didn't deserve, but she'll have that. We'll move on. This week is a big week in terms of European football. Obviously, we play Thursday night. We will get to that game, but given we won the first leg 5-1, and given neither of us watched Sparta Prague play at the weekend, and thus have little more to say about them than we did before the first leg. Let's start with the Champions League games, which take place Tuesday and Wednesday, and then work our way through the Europa and Europa Conference League games and see what we think. So, in the Champions League on Tuesday night, we have two finely balanced games. Arsenal home to Porto. Porto with a 1-0 advantage from the first leg. Porto have, since that game, gone on to absolutely batter the shit out of Benfica, a 5-0 win that had many Benfica fans calling for the head of Roger Schmidt. And then this past weekend, they beat Portimonense 3-0 away from home. Yet another impressive performance, very dominant, one-sided. Arsenal, obviously, in a good run of league form. Not very impressive against Brentford, and very, very fortunate that Kai Havertz, who had been booked, was not given a second yellow card for a very blatant dive, which would have seen him sent off. He goes on to score the winner. And again, that doesn't generate anywhere near the controversy of a drop ball that had no bearing on the outcome of a game. But Arsenal beat Brentford 2-1. Now, in the first leg, Arsenal had the vast majority of possession, did not manage a single shot on target, and were made to look quite naive by a Porto team that came very well prepared with a very clear game plan on what they wanted to do, executed it perfectly, and then found a late winner with what was an absolute stunner of a goal from Galeno.
It was a great goal. A little bit out of keeping with the quality of the rest of the game, if we're being honest. But look, I mean, I still expect Arsenal to go through, given that it's at home for the second leg, and they've obviously been a very strong side in terms of attacking and goals on home soil at the very least. I do think that they probably I don't know if underestimated is quite what I want to say here, the job, but I do think that they got their expectations of the job wrong. In an away game in Europe, maybe the occasion, maybe the tempo of the game or the approach, whatever it was, I think Arsenal got a considerable number of things wrong for that first leg. It's a big part of the reason why I don't, expect them to challenge, let's say, in the latter stages. But I was having a bit of a conversation, and we were going through basically people who could challenge Manchester City for the Champions League this season. I think there are a couple of teams who could beat City over two legs, but I wouldn't fancy to win the Champions League, which is obviously a little bit of an odd thing, considering you think if you finish above City, usually you win whatever it is we're talking about. But like we mentioned PSG last week as a team who I think could beat City over two legs, but I don't expect them to win the Champions League because they just have very inventive ways of shooting themselves in the foot. I think Arsenal come into the same category for me. I think we've seen enough of them against City in the league and raising themselves for big games that I think that they could, over two legs, knock out City if City are not at their very best. But I don't think Arsenal have got a chance of winning the Champions League.
I could see Arsenal beating City over two legs and then losing to Inter Milan, for example, or losing to Real Madrid, or even losing to Bayern Munich despite their flaws, because those teams have a level of Champions League nous that Arsenal don't have, and European nous in general. We saw Arsenal last season go out very, very disappointingly to Sporting, and we've seen them this season. They had an easy group, they got through it, but they didn't get through it without getting a few slaps. And they went to Porto, who, we've gone there three or four different times and absolutely wiped the floor with them. This is the weakest Porto domestically in 9 years. And yet Arsenal went there and never ever looked like winning the game. Like, it didn't look like they were going to lose the game, but it never ever looked like they were going to win the game. Like you said, they should go through here. But again, they should have gone through last year against Sporting and couldn't get the job done. So there's a lack of just having done it about Arsenal. And until you've done it, nobody's really going to believe you can do it. It was the same with us. For a number of years, no one thought we could actually win the Premier League until we won it. No one thought we were going to be able to win a European Cup until we went and won it. And people said after we lost to Real, oh, well, that's your chance gone. Little did they know. Real, the first time, I should point out. I expect Arsenal to go through, but I do think Porto will make it awkward for them at times. Arsenal need an early goal here. If Arsenal get an early goal, I think they can go on and win this game by a couple of clear goals and go through pretty comfortably. If they don't, though, you might just see the Emirates start to get a little bit nervy. And when the stadium gets nervy, the players can get nervy. It's what happened last year against Sporting. And you just never know. If it gets to half time, nil-nil, then it becomes very, very difficult because the longer Porto can hold out, the more emboldened they're going to get to just bring on more and more buses and become even gnarlier and make it more difficult for Arsenal. So Arsenal need to get an early goal there, I think. The other game tomorrow night, Carl, is Barcelona versus Napoli, 1-1 in the first leg. Neither of them are having great domestic seasons. Barca's has obviously been better than Napoli's. But there have been some signs of late that Kvaratskhelia is starting to find form, and he's a scary individual to go up against when he's absolutely flying. So if Napoli are to win, they're going to need a big performance from him.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's still the same too, isn't it? Kvaratskhelia and Osimhen, they're the two that they need to click. They are the two they need to find a way to get them in the most dangerous positions. I think it's going to be pretty difficult for them now. Away from home, fine. Barca are not, I wouldn't say, incredible on home soil, but I think they've probably got enough nous about the team as much as anything else. Barca's home form is like.
Hello there. Have you ever found yourself getting ready to watch the Liverpool match? You've got your mates round, you've got your drinks, you've got your snacks, you're all set to go. It's going to be a good day. And then you find out, oh, the game's not actually being broadcast in your region. There's the heartbreak, there's rage, there's despair, there's fury, you're upset, you're looking for a solution. Well, we've teamed up with NordVPN to bring you a game-changing solution. That's right. With NordVPN, you can switch your virtual location to a country where the game's on live. It's like having a global ticket to sports, TV shows, and movies from all around the world. And here's the best part. If you go to nordvpn.com/Anfield Index, you'll score the best discount on your NordVPN plan. Plus, our link gives you 4 extra months free on the 2-year plan. And that's what we call a winning streak. And if you're sitting there and you're thinking, what if it's not for me? What if I don't like it? What if I'm not getting the use of it? Don't worry about it. There's a 30-day money-back guarantee, so it's totally risk-free. I've been using NordVPN to catch all the Liverpool matches and TV shows that I'd normally miss out on. It's totally transformed both my weekends and my TV watching. And not only that, not only does it give me access to stuff from all around the world with the click of a button, it keeps all my data safe. It means that the miscreants, the ne'er-do-wells, what my grandmother would have called scallywags, who lurk on the internet to try and steal your information, can't get your information. NordVPN keeps it safe for you. So don't let geo-restrictions bench you this season. Visit nordvpn.com/Anfield Index and make sure that you're in the game, no matter when or where it's being played. Remember, it's not just sports. It's your all-access pass to binge-worthy TV shows and blockbuster movies from all around the globe. NordVPN literally unlocks the world for you and keeps you safe from the world. So don't miss out. Head over to nordvpn.com/Anfield Index Let the fun and games begin.
It's good. I wouldn't say it's great in the slightest. It's like last six, last seven, they've won, what, 5, drawn 1, lost 1. That's kind of typical for what they've been across the course of the campaign on home soil. Recent form, they haven't lost any, but they've kind of won, drawn, 1, drawn, 1, 1, drawn, 1, drawn, that kind of thing. So I don't expect them to get beaten at home, but I don't necessarily think that they're going to should we say, in typical Barcelona style of yesteryear, win by dominating play and not letting the opposition have chances. I think Napoli will score. I think they'll have probably chances of their own to win. But they've also still remained a fairly leaky side, let's say. They do concede quite a few chances. It's been quite a while since they've kept a clean sheet now. I think all the way back to end of January, unless I'm missing a game out somewhere along the way. So results have been a little bit better in terms of they're not losing games themselves, but wins are still relatively few and far between. They did beat Juve recently, which is obviously a notable one, but 2 wins in the last 7 all competitions.
And Juve aren't playing well at the moment either.
No. I mean, like the Italian top flight as a whole, Inter aside, I think teams are below what they are capable of at the minute. I think we're used to maybe seeing some of the Italian sides playing better than the sum of their parts. I think at the minute it's kind of the opposite. And even Inter in Champions League terms, we've spoken about them not being as good as they could be, perhaps with those players. So I'm going to pick Barcelona to go through. It might actually be a really entertaining game just because of the number of deficiencies both teams have. But I wouldn't be backing either of them to get through the quarters. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I'd be the same. Next up then on Wednesday, we get Dortmund versus PSV, 1-1 after the first leg. Would it be fair to say that when the draw is made for the quarters, the winner of this is who the likes of PSG and City and Real and Bayern and potentially Arsenal will be looking at and thinking they're the team I'd like next?
Yeah, either this one or the Barca-Napoli one, to be honest. I think they're the two weaker likely outcomes, regardless of which team wins. Again, for this one, I expect Dortmund to win. They're at home. Second leg, fine, but I think they're also a better side than this PSV team. First leg was not as exciting, let's say, as we perhaps hoped it would be. But I think there's enough quality, enough players in the Dortmund options to change things around that they can probably do a job. One issue might be Schlotterbeck, who's suspended, obviously, but other than that, I don't think there's too much to worry about for Dortmund. Individuality is PSV's biggest threat, really, and I think that Dortmund have stronger than them in every regard, really.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Though, like, obviously PSV are having a really good domestic season. The Eredivisie is a very, 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 very poor league at the moment. Final
And they're
game,
missing, Noah Lang, sorry, which is probably
which is a
a
big one.
bit of a thing, yeah.
Yeah. Right, final game. Atletico Madrid versus Inter Milan. Now, when the draw was made, I think a lot of people pointed at this one as sort of the one that was most finely balanced, the two teams that might be the most even. Whereas there was kind of a clear favorite in most of the others, if not all of the others, this one didn't seem to have that. Inter won the first leg 1-0, a Marco Arnautovic goal. Atleti were poor in that game, like Arsenal away to Porto, didn't manage a shot on target. But I don't think Simeone will be all that upset going home with a 1-0 deficit to overcome. Atleti. I mean, to say that they're hit and miss domestically would be to do them more praise than they deserve. They really have not performed well this year. They are very inconsistent, struggle to run results together. They currently sit fourth. They are 6 points behind Barcelona in third, 7 points behind Girona in second, but only 2 points ahead of Athletic Bilbao in fifth. They lost at the weekend, and really, I don't know what to make of this team because there's talent in some areas, and then there's certain players I look at and wonder how on earth it is that they're playing for Atletico Madrid under this manager.
Yeah, like this team as it is right now feels more like the beginning of a rebuild to me, and it's kind of mixed and matched, put together with people who you thought were at the end of their career, people who looked really good and haven't quite taken the next step, people who are like promising young players. It's just such a mix there, and like even I would say at least two, if not three, quite important players for them don't actually play in the positions where they really started to make their name, which in itself is fine, but I think in the context of this team is kind of a thing Simeone has struggled with, to be honest. Like maybe likes this player or the style of a player, but has struggled to get the best out of them, so fits their traits to what else he wants in the team. I mean, you say that they're inconsistent. They've been rubbish, absolute rubbish. Two wins in the last nine and quite a few defeats. Athletic obviously chasing them in the Champions League spots, like you said. Athletic beat them in the semi-finals of the Copa del Rey. That's a big
Beat them
silverware
heavily
bet.
in the second leg as well.
Yeah, smashed them 3-0. I think before, I'm not really sure what it was, maybe before the start of the round of 16 games when we went through and we spoke about Atleti last time, I said I still fancy Atleti to do top four, but I said Athletic to win in the Copa del Rey. I didn't expect it probably to be as emphatic as it was, but how about that for a silverware chance for Simeone and Atletico Madrid? The other semi-finals, Real Sociedad, Mallorca, and Mallorca won on penalties. So Mallorca through to the final. Atletico go into the second leg of their semi-final a day later and get 2 days later and got beat 3-0. I mean, that's really, really poor considering how close they've been to trophies and still missed out on them previously against Real, against Barca in the league, and all the rest of it. That was a big chance for them. So, you know, in Spanish football terms, Copa del Rey terms, Athletic and Mallorca, one of them will have a trophy, and I think that's really, really good. I think it's always good when less successful teams in the modern era win domestic cups or anything at all. But for Atletico, I think it's just a ridiculous missed opportunity. And then they go and lose 2-0 to Cadiz at the weekend as well. Like you said, they were absolute garbage. Like Atletico are capable of matching a team like Inter. They're capable of putting in a big performance. They drew 1-1 at Real Madrid not that long ago. But do they look capable of beating Inter if Inter really
Yeah.
are really on their game? Inter coming into this game with what, 13 wins in a row?
Yeah, and it doesn't even look like Inter would need to be on their game, considering just how pathetic Atleti were at the weekend in that performance against Cadiz. That's a shocker. 2 games before that in the league, they go to Almeria and draw 2-2. And Almeria are dreadful. Like, they haven't won a game all season. That's two of the bottom three they've played in their last three league matches, and they've taken 1 point. Like, that's completely unacceptable. They lost away to Sevilla, who are garbage. Like, there's just so many... There's so many results this season that you look at and you just think, this isn't a Simeone team. Like, losing 3-0 away to Valencia, a 3-3 draw at home with Getafe, shipping four to Girona. And I know Girona are having a good season, but for a Diego Simeone team to concede four goals is just... It's really, really poor. And then, you know, they get absolutely slapped in that semi-final second leg. Now, I'm thrilled for Athletic Bilbao that they are into that final. They haven't won real silverware since 1984. It's been 40 years since they won the double. I refuse to accept the Supercoppa, no matter how fancy they try and make it. I refuse to accept it as real silverware. What is there, six, seven, eight teams that go into it? I'm not having that as real competition.
I was going to say, the only thing about Atletico that we obviously have to note in terms of this second leg is that home and away, they're really different teams in terms of results and what they put together.
Yeah, I mean, look, the home league form, 13 wins, one draw. That's really, really good. That's title-winning form. Their away form is pathetic. Four wins, three draws, and seven defeats. In the Champions League, they won all three home group games, and the only away group game that they won was at Feyenoord. Like, they drew at Celtic. And as much as I adore Celtic, Celtic should not be getting a draw with Atletico Madrid. So yeah, they are very much a much better team at home. Athletic Bilbao in the first leg of that semi-final, they beat them 1-0. And their only home league defeat was... the only home point dropped in the league was that Getafe game. But other than that, they've been fairly bulletproof at home. But Inter come in not needing to win. Inter are more than capable of shithousing their way to a draw here.
Mm-hmm. Yep, for sure. I think that that's probably the approach we'll see, given Inter's... shall we say, strength in the Champions League, how they've used them this year. They haven't lost an away game in any competition this season. That's, you know, as good as Atletico's home form is, Inter's away form is exceptional. They drew at Real Sociedad in the groups. They drew at Juve. They drew at Benfica. They drew at Genoa, just a random one-off kind of less impressive result. All the rest of them, Cups, Champions League, and Serie A have all been victories. So, like you say, they don't need to win this game. They just need to not lose. I think they are more than capable of doing that. So I wouldn't be surprised if it was a 0-0 or 1-1. Either way, I pick Inter to go through still.
Yeah, I think I would as well. Right, let's do the Conference League quickly. Fenerbahce are 3-0 up after the first leg against Union Saint-Gilloise. That game is in Fenerbahce. I think it's fair to say Fenerbahce can be penciled in for the quarterfinal draw.
Then I won't be arguing with you.
Fiorentina are 4-3 up against Maccabi Haifa after a mental first leg, but they are at home for the second leg, which should give them enough advantage to get themselves through.
Yeah, again, I don't really see too much going wrong with this result. It's probably not their toughest task of the season, let's be honest.
PAOK have to overturn a 2-0 deficit. They're home to Dinamo Zagreb. That's going to be a tall order. These are two very evenly matched teams, I would say. I'd struggle to see them winning by two clear goals, but you just don't know in these competitions, because mad things happen kind of every week.
Yeah, I mean, look, I haven't seen Dinamo Zagreb play football for probably about three seasons, to be perfectly honest, but a quick look through their results, their away results, they don't appear to lose very many, regardless of competition. They went through a bit of a bad patch early on in the campaign, but 2-0 up from the first leg. Let's gamble and say that's enough to see them through. I don't know. I don't really care. It's the Conference League and it's PAOK Thessaloniki.
Well,
I'm probably not going to
you're
watch that
definitely going to
game.
love this one. Viktoria Plzeň against Servette played out a nil-nil draw in the first leg. Do we just pick the home team to win this because we don't know?
Are you talking about? I'm a closet Pilsen fan. Let's go for Servette on penalties after a nil-nil.
Beautiful. Club Bruges 2-1 down to Molde, second leg in Bruges. I think you'd fancy Club Bruges to get through. They do just have seemingly I think a higher level of individual quality.
Let's go for 2-0 there then.
Right. Lille 3-0 up against Sturm Graz at home for the second leg. I think we put Lille through, yeah.
Double that result.
Maccabi Tel Aviv 4-1 up against Olympiakos. This was largely a result that I loved because it meant that the owner of Nottingham Forest had yet another reason to cry. Maccabi are the home team in the second leg, but it will be played, I believe, in Hungary. So no home advantage, but they should still see themselves through.
Yeah, unless they get two players sent off in the first 10 minutes, I expect they're going to be there.
And then finally, the big one, Aston Villa Ajax. The first leg, Carl, was one of the most horrendous games of football I've ever seen. And I do wonder what happened to Ajax, the once proud club, and the beautiful game, because this was shocking stuff. The only excitement was the two lads getting sent off in the 83rd and 85th minute. Villa got their arses absolutely handed to them by Spurs at the weekend. John McGinn, one of the most brainless challenges you'll ever see when his team were 2-0 down. I think Villa are going to have to focus heavily on the Conference League because I think fourth is going to slip away from them, if I'm honest.
Don't know when you ever thought fourth was in their grasp, to be perfectly honest. I've been telling you this for the last 7 months.
Ah, listen, he's doing a good job.
He's done a perfectly fine job. That's what he always does. Perfectly fine and not a single percentage more.
Yeah, but he wins European trophies, Carl, so he's winning this one.
Right. Well, I think he's going to win this one anyway. I was speaking
Just
to
because the standard is shit.
yes, that's a very good reason why. I was speaking to Aston Villa supporting friend Sam Tai during the match at the weekend when
Yes.
I think it was, in fact, just after John McGinn's red card, about Ajax Champions League, blah blah blah. And I had a look to see how Ajax were doing at that exact moment in time, and they were playing at the same time as Villa. And at that moment, they were 2-1 down at home to the mighty Fortuna Sittard. They did fight back to draw 2-2. I mean, I look through this Ajax side now, and probably for about the last 15 years, at any one point, I could have reeled off their lineup. Told you who was going to be the most decent stars coming through, who looked really promising, blah blah blah. Honestly, I struggle to get half of this team these days. They're
Yeah,
rubbish.
they're awful.
Absolute rubbish.
I quite like Manswerk, but he's struggling at the moment. Hato looks promising, but he's very young.
Hey guys, it's Eddie Gibbs from Anfield Index here. I hope you're enjoying this podcast, and I'm sorry to call time on the show before it ends. In the current climate, it's tougher than ever before to offer podcasts for free. At Anfield Index, we produce over 75 free shows every month, which I'm confident is unparalleled in the LFC sphere. Whilst we'd love to offer everything for free, the production costs now make this impossible. That said, we don't want to follow the model of other channels and lock all of our content behind a paywall. So what we've decided to do is to continue offering every show for free, but cut that offering to 30 minutes on our longer shows. So to get all of our shows in full and enjoy the best of everything we have to offer, we really hope you'll consider supporting the channel and signing up at AnfieldIndexPro.com. For about the price of one cup of coffee, you'll get every podcast in full with zero ads. You'll also get access to our LFC VIP community, where you can enjoy live podcasts, engage with our podcasters, and chat with other Reds in real time. So that website again, AnfieldIndexPro.com. Join today.
Sports Social Podcast Network.